Week 10 requires a good, solid crack.
Is it a good, double, solid beer?
Double, and it's Modelo. Modelo is like a
Wait, say that again?
We're going to start. It's a Modelo. What did
Modelo?
I say? Oh, for fuck. Already?
Wait, first of all, that's Nick's favorite beer. So I have a bunch of those in my fridge right now.
Are you a lime in your Modelo? I know Corona is like Corona cliche. Are you pro lime?
So I'm not much of a Modelo drinker, but my fiance is, and
me too.
He loves a good lime in his Modelo.
I am team lime. Although, like when I'm in Vegas and sitting at a table and I've had like 7 to 8 Coronas, the lime can be a little bit much on the 8th Corona.
I feel like
just
weird
just
take.
Saying.
Maybe, you know what? Hold on. I will be right back. BRB. 2 seconds.
Wait a second.
I'm pausing this episode for 2 seconds. You just drink your Modelo and talk about how much you love. Practice saying Modelo.
Modelo.
Okay, well, I'll be right back.
Modelo. Modelo. No, it's Modelo. Modelo. What did I say? Modelo. I hope you left to go get a beer. Hey.
We've got a Modelo.
We have a Modelo. Cheers.
Modelo.
Wait till you hear. I don't know what is or isn't going to make this pod.
No, but our producer Matt keeps it all in.
Oh, if he does, everyone's in for a treat. Anyway, cheers to us. Cheers to Municipal. Today, yes. I am wearing, go to our YouTube channel. I'm wearing one of my favorite Municipal shirts. You can't pick me out of a lineup. I had a call with somebody though today, Paige, and it's funny because she was wearing a really loud shirt like this one. And I'm like, whose shirt is louder? We had like a loud off. And she's like, I don't know. I think it might be yours. So, but this is one of my favorites. It fits nice. Very fallish for its, like, there's some fall in here, right?
By the way, we're getting fall weather here. I just like to say it's been under 70 for the last 2 days. So that's huge for us.
It is 80 degrees here today. It will be a low of 35 here tomorrow. Shit's going to get real. But real.
Okay. That's a lot.
But municipal.com, go check them out. Friends of the show. Get your gear. It's gear season.
It is gear season. It's athleisure season. Even if you're not getting up at 3 a.m, like Mark Wahlberg, to exercise, you can still enjoy the comfort of the clothes that he makes because they're wonderful.
That dude's ice bath budget is like impressive.
Tolerance for the ice bath.
I know all of it. I mean dedication.
I've done an ice bath before, and it is not pleasant.
No, same, but I love the dedication.
Yes.
Okay. College football. Our last week in review. Where do you want to start? There's some interesting games, but I'll tell us where we want to start, which is you and I have been very bullish on Ohio State.
Okay, yeah, we can start here.
And I'm starting to lose my bullishness, and I want to know, we talked about this on our live stream on Sunday. Are you there? Are you starting to get a little nervous about this? Obviously, we'll talk Ohio State, Penn State in a little bit.
So what's weird about this is that I think now, hindsight, that the Oregon game for me is more concerning than actually the Nebraska game that they just played this past weekend. Because I think that Ohio State is able to like turn it on for big games and as has always been able to. And they've, you know, scooted by. They don't lose the games that they're supposed to win. But when it comes to big games over the last couple of years, specifically being just the Michigan game, they have not been able to kind of step up. And I'm concerned specifically about this team and this Penn State game. This will be the tell if they will actually be able to go far in the playoff. Like, this game for me will be able to tell me if they're, like, Oregon, okay, one loss, but like this is like you got to get up. You need it for the playoff. Like the expectations are so high. This game's going to be a marker that, okay, even if they do make the playoff, which I believe they will, are they actually going to be able to compete? They can. It's crazy.
The pieces are good. For me, it's... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, question. I kind of hate this analysis so much where people are like, oh, I think they were looking ahead to Penn State. No. Like, that's not actually what happens. I think it's more that they don't... I don't think it's that they're looking ahead. I think it's that they just don't take the opponent in front of them seriously.
I also think this offensive line, now that it's... It wasn't playing great, and now it's really injured. And now... It's a huge liability. I've got concerns. Yeah, I'm worried. I mean, yes, they could turn it on. They've got great players, but they had 31 carries for 64 yards against Nebraska. This defense is pretty good.
I think they were 1-for-10 on third down conversions. So like
I mean, let's see. In this game, 295 yards of offense. 13.8 yards per pass, which is actually pretty good. 64, completely outgained. Time of possession, 35 minutes for Nebraska, 24 for Ohio State. Like, that's not good. It's a team that can't run the ball. I think third down, 1-for-10. 5-for-16 for Nebraska blew this, by the way. I hate to say it, but this was a great chance to have a win like that. So I my level of concern is mounting, and the offensive line ain't going to get any better.
Yeah, I think on the flip side of this week's matchup, Penn State, full disclosure, we have so many Penn State people in our world. Yes. Our producer for the AP poll show is a Penn State fan, and he was like, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, this is, I feel it. I feel like it's going to happen. I feel like we can legit be Penn State. And you and I both were like, we kind of agree with you. Like, this is, it's possible. It's going to be close game. Obviously, at Penn State makes that a huge advantage. If Penn State wins this game, I think this is really dramatic, so I'm just going to say it because it is. But if Penn State wins this game, it proves that, like, we are now officially in a new age of college football where, like...
Jimmy Strickland can win?
Yeah, that, and the fact that, like, teams that have been almost and have lost a lot and barely, you know, scratched the playoff conversation are now very much going to be a problem in the playoff. It's not just like the expansion of the playoff is worth it because you're going to get games where like this is Penn State's opportunity. They'll probably be in the top four, obviously, if that were the case, if it was still four teams. But I think expanded playoff and the level of competition is just, it's shifting so much. You're not going to have the Georgias and Alabamas just dominate everybody. And there's no more joyless murder ball.
Prabula. Yeah, I feel like I should have went into that a little bit stronger. And if it was
our producer told us what it was. It's Prabula, I think.
It's like Modelo. How did you say it?
Modelo. Modelo. How do you say it? Say it again.
Modelo.
Modelo.
Modelo, I think, is correct, though.
Modelo.
The more I'm hearing it, the more I'm feeling wrong. But Bo, I feel like when Penn State is rolling, that's the kind of quarterback they have. Dude made himself a lot of money.
He'll be transferring somewhere and starting somewhere and getting a lot of NIL money. I also just absolutely love that Drew Aller comes out with just fire saying, "Who the fuck are you?" To whoever he said that to. I love that kid's. I've said it on this pod. I've said it to the producers on our show. He looks like a Pixar character, but he's got the mouth of a sailor, and I absolutely love it. I love every minute of Drew Aller. I've been so critical. I think because I have been on the Penn State bandwagon trying to be like, okay, they're going to get there. They're going to get there. Last year, I was like, I am for sure they're in. Yeah, no.
I'm telling you right now, people were giving me shit on Twitter because I said, Penn State, our guy Bo looked pretty good. This point spread has come down. We'll talk about this game.
Yeah.
It does not fucking matter who's playing quarterback for Penn State in my eyes. And that speaks volumes to what's going on here. Because if Cam Ward was out, the spread wouldn't be just chilling at 3.5 or 4.
Yeah. Can we?
I'm just saying. So, fuck off, Penn State fans that are up in my shit this week. I'm sorry.
That are up in my...
Up in the, not all of them. Like, gotta be careful how things are said these days in light of recent political news. Not all Penn State fans.
Yeah.
Just the ones that are up my shit.
If we're going to be critical of Ohio State and say that maybe we have some concern, we need to talk about Texas.
Yep.
Because we've also been very high on Texas. Close game with Vanderbilt. Not that Vanderbilt's bad, but again, alarming. Like, I did not expect in week 10 that we would be like, yeah, Oregon is easily the best team in the country. Easily, by far. Most complete team. And that's the thing. I think that's the difference now. Everyone has the same level of roster. It's just who's the most complete team.
Something got jostled loose. Or maybe it was the teams that were playing. Because Oklahoma's really not all that good. And Michigan's really not all that good. So maybe nothing got jostled loose. Maybe, like, Texas got, like, this is who they are.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised how Quinn Ewers is just not, he's not bad. But, right now, if you were to ask me, like, where does he sit in the hierarchy of quarterbacks you want to go into a game with? You know, weird, by the way, Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers were kind of like, we're kind of not feeling that much. It's a little strange. So
I'm sure draft Twitter is just unsure what to do with all things.
Yeah, draft the guy from Miami. No, but the other thing, I guess, for me with Texas, it's a reoccurring theme. Texas 3.1 yards per carry versus Vandy. Now, granted, part of that is, you know, Quinn Ewers, 5 carries for negative 20 yards. But your quarterback is not all that mobile, and your running game was hurt by injuries. I think this is a problem. And I think we're going to learn a lot about this team here, maybe not in the next few weeks, honestly, because they play Florida, they play at Arkansas, Kentucky, and at A&M. I mean, I don't know. Texas still is in such good shape to make the playoff despite this crap, quite
They'll
honestly.
They'll be in. Don't worry. It's just where they end up once they are in. Does any of this with Ohio State and Texas give you concern about Miami a little bit?
Well, I think Miami didn't look like it gave a flying fuck for about 45 minutes of that game against Florida State. I mean,
thing is, like, what you were saying about Texas is, like, they really hadn't played anybody. And, like, is this who they are?
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
we've
seen Miami being close games. I don't know. I don't have a ton of faith in them.
They almost lost to Cal, Virginia Tech, and Louisville.
Yep.
And you look at the rest of their schedule, by the way, Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse. I mean, they're three touchdown favorites this week against Duke. Georgia Tech is not the team we saw early on. Wake Forest is bad. And Syracuse, if they throw a million interceptions, I mean, that's, I guess, the hardest game. And then maybe Clemson. So, but come playoff time, like, we look at who they've played. I mean, Virginia, who is the toughest game? Virginia Tech or Louisville? Like, I think if you're going into, but you do have a quarterback, right? So you're like, okay, we haven't played anybody. We'll play somebody decent, assuming Clemson, and then we'll figure it out. But even if they lose that game, they're in the playoff, right? Like, they're in a great, if you're a Miami fan, you're thrilled. But I think it's reasonable to say we don't know a lot about this team yet. How about Texas A&M for Texas A&M benches its starting quarterback and comes away as one of the darlings of the week. It's not very normal. I thought about that a little bit, right? Like, benches their starting quarterback and then people leave that game feeling better about the team than they did, you know, a week before. That's interesting to me. Where do you sit with it?
I think that they are... One, they're probably one of the bigger surprises of the season. I think we knew that Elko would be able to kind of transition them into the next step, but I don't know if we knew that they would be. I mean, I think it's just also the fact that the rest of the SEC is beating up on each other. And not to say that Texas A&M doesn't have stuff in front of them that they could certainly stumble, but I think they're in the playoff, don't you? Like,
Well, I've got some thoughts on them. And I'm going to save those thoughts for later. Yeah.
Wow, so you think they lose this week?
I actually think they have a very tricky end-of-year schedule. Like, South Carolina...
New Mexico State, Auburn, not, Texas.
Playing at Auburn, though, is hard. Like, I know Auburn's not very good, but playing at Auburn is hard. Auburn is a 6.5-point favorite against Vandy this week at Auburn. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I have thoughts on that game. And then you play Texas. I mean, you, three out of your next four games are losable. And Vegas is saying, by the way, hey, just a heads up, this is a very losable game. So I like this team, and like they're good. I like the coach. I like what I saw from their quarterback. I also am kind of in a hold on, let's reevaluate things position yeah. with them. But after this week, if they win this week, yeah, I think they're in really good shape. Is there any other team takeaways? General, it could be last week. It could be general. You know,
no, but I think we can move into our Halloween themed, which, by the way, was like literally off the cuff and decided 5 minutes before we started that this is what we were going to do. But welcome to the first annual, no puns allowed, Scaries. These are awards that we will give out Halloween week. I actually really like that because that's the week we usually are heading into the playoff or get the playoff. Last year we got playoff rankings on Halloween. So we are going to rank some scaries, which I love this. You started with like, hey, let's do it as coach. And then I was like, let's do it for everything. And this is how the No Puns Allowed is made. No Puns Allowed podcast is produced.
I want to be clear. I have not really given these answers much thought.
I have ever since we decided, so I think that's enough, you know? Your coach one a thought? By the way, scary is a good thing in this aspect.
Yeah, scary. The word scary is a positive. Scary is a positive. I am struggling with my coach one, so let's talk about it. So the scariest coach, it was very easy, very, very easy, I think, to... This is the Nick Saban award, right? Because he was the scariest coach.
Yes.
Do you have a good answer for this one?
I mean, I feel like Dan Lanning separated himself because, like, before I would have said, like, Kiffin or whatever, and that hasn't been proven. I would have said Sark again.
That's where I was going.
It's
after
not.
That.
There's just, like, a lot of coaches that I would have said, but based on this season and doing it based as, like, award for week 10, I would say Dan Lanning. I think you have to. Who else would you? I mean, I guess. There's been some great coaching jobs done, but I wouldn't necessarily say that they are like the scariest coach to like continue on this.
No.
And also like some of the guys that are doing it at different schools are probably going to leave. So, you know, for bigger programs.
I actually think it's amazing how that personality is largely out of college football. This is what I struggle with. Like, I think Kirby, when you hear his locker room talks, has got it in him. I know, I get it. You're anti-Kirby.
I guess you could, like, what I was alluding to before is, like, you could give it to Indiana's coach, and I guess that personality is coming out. Like, the Coach Sigs stuff, all the, like, towels and stuff at Indiana.
He's been great.
And the personality, they've been very good.
Greg Schiano has always been kind of scary to me. Greg Schiano is just like if you were to make a college football murder mystery and you want like the...
Okay.
Like just a villain, like...
Do you want us to remove football from it and just go based on personality? Then that's a different type of award.
Well, sure. Let's hand that one out too.
Okay, because Dan Lanning doesn't scare me. He's like kind of like a frat bro, you know? So like he doesn't...
I think we were voting on two different words because I was like, you know what? I'm kind of voting on... What's the scariest motherfucker in college football?
I mean, to me, it's still Brent Venables, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it's his eyebrows. You know, his neck veins different. Have neck veins.
Yeah, like, he's built different.
But other than him... All right.
You want villains? So, wait, I said this was a good award. I was going with, like, you're scariest because,
shit,
like,
I know.
We're competing against them. So let's do two different things. Let's go with villain. which we could go Brian Kelly easily in that category.
Ryan Day is also a good villain. Brian Kelly, absolutely not. Brian Kelly is the most hated Ryan coach Day, in college.
Ryan Day is not a villain. He wishes he was a villain. He is not.
He looks too much like the rosy cheeks.
And even when he's fired up, you're still like, wow, it's okay that this guy's fired up. No, nothing about him screams villain to me. Nothing. And maybe it's just because he was opposite of the main villain for the last couple of years in Jim Harbaugh. But no, Ryan Day is not the villain ever. He couldn't if he tried.
I'm telling you, though, there's not a lot of good villains.
No.
Because everybody gets their ass kicked now. Like.
Yeah.
Like. Who's a good villain?
I think Dan Lanning could be considered a villain in the sense that he's going to be, in terms of like football and actually coaching, like he's going to cause a lot of problems for a lot of people.
When like Mission Impossible is like, all right, we need a young, arrogant son of a bitch of a co-star with Tom Cruise, who's probably going to die a gruesome death and lose in the semifinal. But that, like, looks cocky and pissed off along the way. That is Dan Lanning. You know what I mean?
I know that Glenn Powell's a Texas guy, but he's, like, the Glenn Powell of...
Yes.
That's a great... Okay. No,
he's good. But when I look... All right, now back to being a dick. Oregon, Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, Miami, Texas, Tennessee, Notre Dame, BYU, Texas A&M. You know, Kyle Whittingham, by the way, who's not in the top 25, just strikes me as a guy holding an axe outside your fucking porch. Like, let's go, bitch.
He is a villain.
Like, he's a good look. It's a villain.
He did a fake punt up, like, 30 on Arizona once. So, I just...
That's a kid that, like...
That is a villain.
If you know, dad's dad, and he's got a daughter, and you're the boyfriend coming to meet dad, you're like, fuck. Damn it. Not him. Not that guy.
This is completely off the rails, which, like, every holiday episode we try and do is completely off the rails.
Our Christmas full episode is...
No, our Thanksgiving. Our Thanksgiving episode is always pretty wild.
All right, we should move on to player.
We should.
It's... Okay. Now we have to get it. We have to provide context. Because we're not going to say players, like, look like
We're not
villains.
Saying they're villains. Yeah, yeah. No. Can't do There's it. No villains. They're
multi-million dollar coaches. Kids. We can do that.
Multi-million dollar children, you know?
Ashton Genty is that dude because he's just running through everyone, right?
He's not a villain. It's just that he's like, and he also, the way he stands before he gets the ball, like, gives me, you know, I'm not into scary movies. I know that surprises literally no one, but like, what's the movies where they, like, the girl stands in the hallway? Is it It or whatever? Or not It.
Scream?
No, what's the one where they make the really weird noise? Why am I blanking on what it's called? Is it The Grudge?
Oh, I don't... You're talking to me like I'm into scary movies.
Also, just... The Grudge. Yeah, yeah. Okay, wait, she stands there, but her arms are down. Yes, it's The Grudge, and they make that really scary noise. Wait, now I'm terrified. I literally hate scary movies so much.
We attempted to watch one with the family, and it's not a scary movie. It was like Monster House. I didn't even know if this... It's a cartoon scary movie, and the kids are all scared shitless. I mean, it was... I actually kind of liked it. It was kind of fun.
That's hilarious.
But
Ashton Genty is a very good one. Like, he's scary. Also, you could put Travis Hunter in there. I know it feels like
I'm going to give an off the wall Bryson Daly of Army. In that offense is diabolical. And if you have not watched Army this year, imagine the best option QB that maybe we've seen in a really long time. They've had some good ones. Navy's had some good ones. But I mean, just the way he has destroyed teams, and actually he can throw a little bit when they throw every, you know, 100th pass. I'm telling you, but I cannot wait. That's the team. I know Navy got their ass kicked against against Notre Dame. I think Army's a much different animal. And Daly, the last game against East Carolina, 7 of 10, throwing 147 yards, which in Army might as well be 400 yards. 31 carries, 171 yards, 5 touchdowns. In a different universe, this guy is in the he's in the Heisman discussion. He's got 26 touchdowns. He's got 909 rushing yards, 629 passing yards, no interceptions, 26 touchdowns. Dude is a freak. He's really good. So I'm just saying.
So you're giving him scariest.
I like him. I do. I'm a big fan.
All right, let's go team. I'm still going to pick Ohio State because that roster on paper still pretty scary.
I would love to say Ohio State.
You don't have to choose the same as me.
I'm gonna go Oregon right now. Like, I'm kind of unfortunately caving, and
I just didn't want to pick Dan Lanning and Oregon.
There is a part of me that wants to say Georgia because it's that team that if you let them reestablish themselves, they'll gladly play this role.
Yeah, that's a perfect answer. I think Georgia is the correct answer.
And last but not least, stadium.
Scariest place to play.
Gotta be Death Valley at night, right? Lane Kiffin's bitching about it. LSU gets home games at night.
Hilarious. To be fair, though, that is a pain in the ass that they always have to play during the day. But that was an Arizona problem, too, in the Pac-12.
Get a better brand, bro. Get a better brand.
Oh, my gosh. Did you hear the side note that the two fans that were...
Yes.
That they went to U of A?
Oh, nice.
Gronk was like, yeah, I know them. They were my friends in college and were, like, ridiculously crazy like that. So that doesn't surprise me at all. And I was oh, man. All right. We got to own that.
Ripping the glove out. That's a bold move.
Wild, wild. That's the scariest... fan interaction I think I've seen. Like, why are you doing that? What? No part of me would think that that's something I would ever do.
Do you know both Mookie Betts is a great bowler?
Yes, of course I know that.
Is that, like, Mookie widely Betts
has
known?
A show. Yes, he has a show for Bleacher Report. How dare you think that I don't know my coworker that well?
Jesus, sorry. Just like to retract all that. Man, if you could delete that.
But yes, he is, like, an elite bowler.
Oh, it's amazing. I'm in the bowling spirit right now. We're, you know, for reasons I'll reveal later on the podcast, not on this podcast, but in future podcasts.
Okay.
And so I stumbled across his footage of him bowling. He's like legit. It's pretty amazing.
One, I would like to say that the Dodgers have like a ridiculous amount of likable people on their team. And it just like really upsets me.
I don't agree with that.
You don't like Freddie Freeman? You don't like Shohei Ohtani?
I don't like Shohei Ohtani. I don't. I think this gambling bullshit, I've got questions. I'm sorry. I don't. I'm not a fan. I respect his work. He's a phenomenal guy to watch. But
you don't like Shohei.
I think this gambling story got washed away by Major League Baseball haphazardly. The guy has millions upon millions upon millions of dollars missing. And there's some shady shit here.
All right. Well, here's the thing. We will certainly dive in.
Tortured the Mets. I do like Freddie Freeman. Mookie Betts might be one of the most likable baseball players.
Human beings.
The rest of the Dodgers can fuck off, though. All of them.
Okay. But over the Yankees. Sorry. I'm going to go with the Dodgers. But I will say that during the offseason, we're going to dive into that a little deeper because I don't think I've ever met anyone that doesn't like Shohei Ohtani, which is very strange.
I
really did not expect it from you. But I respect
the gender of gamblers, and I think he's one. So maybe I respect him even more now if we could figure out where
what actually happened.
$16 million went gimp. No, I love what he's amazing. And he's clearly hurt, by the way. I feel bad for him because his swing is all fucked up.
I was like, why is he playing?
No, because he's a pro. He's a machine. But
he's not like
Anthony. And I'm not at all bitter
like Anthony
about the Mets
saying
being,
he's tired.
Oh my god, dude. Like what are we doing? Like what are we doing? I mean, that is unbelievable. I know we're off the rails here, but holy fuck.
No, we are off the rails, but we're going to keep going because this is the train of thought that there is a huge problem with let people who watch college football for an entire season decide who you should choose at quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
Please stop letting, like, I'm sorry, even if NFL scout is your job, you're not spending every Saturday, and you should be, but you're watching film. You're not watching in real time. all those things. Please let the people who are watching in real time choose who should be your selection for quarterback.
I know this got passed around on social media. I'm actually glad you brought it up, because this got passed around of all of the failures now that are 25 and under from Zach Wilson, including Justin Fields. I feel like that one's a little harsh. It's a little still book is out to, you know, all of last year's Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young. Two things. A, I notice we're not talking about this year's quarterbacks. Bo Nix, who's looked good. Jane Daniels has looked great. Caleb Williams has looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Michael Penix, we don't know. So we're notably leaving out like the latest class of players. Two, it's, you know, because we're alluding, college, you know, NFL has a problem developing quarterbacks. No. NFL has a problem drafting quarterback or evaluating quarterbacks and then allowing the quarterbacks to sit, to just grow. Like,
they are expecting them to come in and fix a problem that's not just a quarterback problem.
Well, and the formula, although Caleb was 3 and done, but Jane Daniels played like 19 years of college football. Bo Nix the same. Michael Penix played a lot of college football. That seems to be working. But it's not a development thing. It's a desperation thing. Your eyes tell you, like, you watch Richardson in Florida, and you're like, holy fuck, this dude does some crazy shit. And then you watch another game, you're like, holy fuck, this guy is going to get somebody fired. In fact, he's going to get multiple people fired. And look what happens. Like, so you're right. Like, we can tell you.
We can tell you. Just allow people who watch. Like, that's the part that's just driving me crazy. Because, again, to your point, it's like, you would know so much of this information, and you would know. I think also there's like this pressure. I think, and did you see the clip from the Giants? What do they call it? What's the HBO? Why am I blanking on what it's called?
Hard Knocks.
Thank you. The Hard Knocks, the Giants one where the GM's son was like, you should take Daniels. And he was like, all right. Like, if you watch the game, I think just people are overthinking it. They're overthinking all of the things that they're trying to just get it right with one pick. And that's just not how it works.
There is an exception to this rule.
Patrick Mahomes.
No, I think he did enough in college. Well, yes. Josh Allen, though, who I covered at Wyoming and saw Wyoming, and I'm like, this dude is fucking insane, but like also is overthrowing wide receivers by like 30 feet. If you watch how Josh Allen threw in college and how he throws now, it's like a complete makeover. It's like a sidearm, an overhand pitcher now throws sidearm, like, and all of a sudden found life. There, Josh Allen is a unicorn.
Yeah.
Like, Zach Wilson, same thing, right? Anthony, like, these guys who are like, wow, there's tools there.
Well,
a lot of those times, those tools don't develop. Josh Allen is, the tools have developed beautifully. Like, he's incredible.
Trevor Lawrence, I mean,
not that good.
People thought he was the second coming of Jesus, you guys, when he was going through the recruiting process and when he was at Clemson. Yep. It was insanity, the hyperbole that people were willing to throw out about this guy. Not to say that he hasn't been very good, but also not totally his fault. He did get put in a really shitty situation coming into the league. But it's just wild to me that, like, everybody picks and chooses what they want from these scenarios with these young quarterbacks instead of just being honest about, like, there is an evaluation problem. There's a huge evaluation problem and a problem.
Yes.
I do think it's a development problem, but I think it's more that the game of college football is changing now that will help that development problem, I think, a little bit, because there will be guys that stay and transfer and play a little bit more college ball, play for different coaches, all of those things, play in different schemes, all that. But it is a major issue with the, like, one guy is going to fix this whole franchise, and it's usually the quarterback. And I was actually, it's weirdly enough that we're having this conversation, is like 2 weeks ago I had this conversation with my fiance, and I was like, do you think it's that we're so focused on quarterbacks and it's like so forward facing?
Yes.
But is there this big of like turnover and frustration in terms of development at every other position? Or is it just because we're focusing on the quarterback?
No.
I don't think it is. I think genuinely it is a problem with quarterbacks, because, again, the value placed on them. Obviously, they are very valuable, but just the idea that they can fix some of the other stuff with one player and have it be immediate feels weird to me.
It's a positional problem, which gets back to desperation. Marvin Harrison Jr. has largely been, I don't know what he did last week. I know it's been a struggle for him.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of big games. You don't hear much about it. Are you interested in how J.C. Latham's performing? The number 7 pick overall, formerly of Alabama, taken with the Titans. I couldn't tell you one fucking thing.
Yeah.
Right? J.J. McCarthy. Well, J.J. McCarthy isn't playing.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these guys are largely not viewed the same way. What has changed, I think, like wide receivers, which to me is like quarter. It's like the becoming.
It's like 1A, 1B.
1A, 1B. So like, hey, what's Rome Odunze doing? What's Marvin Harrison Jr. doing? Like, what are these guys? But like linemen and cornerback, no. Like we, because those guys are not going to win titles by themselves. They're going to be complementary pieces that allow a quarterback to thrive. And I know, I find it fascinating.
But those should be valued equally as the quarterback, because you could have the greatest quarterback in the world, but if you don't have a good offensive line, he's not going to be the greatest quarterback in the world.
I agree with that.
It's like how it works.
I love it though. Like, oh, we have a quarterback developing, but no, buddy, you have an eyesight problem. Like, come have a look at what we're talking about here. And it's really interesting, too, because if you were to... what I've seen this year, I think Cam Ward is electric.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would tie my program's future to Cam Ward or Dylan Gabriel.
Yep. Totally.
If I were to draft a quarterback, I think I would draft Shador.
I know.
I don't think this is even fucking close right now. Like, I can't believe I'm saying that, but I don't even think it'd be close. He has been far and away.
And by the way, still getting hit a lot.
Oh, tons. And that's part of the allure. Gabriel is really good. He's been great. Like, those guys will have their moments. It's kind of a weird year for the position, by the way. The draft process, Carson Beck, is going to be a mess. It's fascinating.
Are you worried at all about Arch?
Like,
in terms of being a draft prospect, and when he comes out,
the
pressure and the, like, I don't want it to be ruined by, because he's good, but there's still development needed there.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
there's time, but again, I don't know.
I think it's why Texas was good for him, because who knows what he'll do the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, he'll probably play some. He might play, yeah.
But he is conditioned to play 1 year of college football and then go under Sark. I mean, that's what we're set up, and it's great for Texas that they are. But I think he's equipped to handle it. I think his life has been a whole circus, frankly. So he's probably more conditioned than anybody we've seen in the last 5 years to deal with it. But it is interesting you brought up Trevor Lawrence, too, because I watched them. I bet them this weekend. I won barely against Green Bay.
Congrats!
But it was an ugly win, and I'm like, man, so much has to go right too. I guess to the point that he does have a development problem. Like, what would Patrick Mahomes be on the Bears? Right? Like, what would he be? Probably not Patrick Mahomes. Like, it.
There's so much stock in like having the first pick. And this is going to sound stupid, and the people in the draft world are going to be like, this is the dumbest thing you've ever said, Paige. But, like, there's so much stock in picking first that, like, I almost would rather not be first, because I feel like that pick is so overthought every time, even in the first three. Like, I would say that, let me rephrase that. I would say it happens with, like, for example, this next year, like, I wouldn't want to be picking first.
Agreed.
Like, maybe last year, sure. But... the year before that, no, I wouldn't have wanted to be picking first.
You,
like, there's...
you actually might have wanted to pick second this past year.
Yeah.
Just saying. Gene Daniels, fuck me. That guy's crazy. Like...
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, I think the evaluation process is a little broken.
I'm saying
we could do it better.
Yeah. Let us draft your team for you.
What could possibly go wrong? I feel like the Jets need help doing it, so you might as well.
I actually don't want to talk about them. So I agree with you. You are correct. Let's they can get draft back to, their own
let's get back to college
team.
Football. The world's right. longest rant.
Yeah, no, that was good. But I'm glad you brought it up because it's been bugging me too. And like, people have really stupid opinions on the internet. I've been reading them for a day. Now let's talk about week 10. I do not have anything for locks for Penn State, Ohio State. So we talked a little bit about it earlier. And I know your locks are coming in hot. Is there anything in this game that you feel strongly about? The spread is Ohio State is a 3.5-point favorite. Hold on.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to touch it.
So, all right. Right. The other thing we didn't comment on, talking about, actually, it's a 3-point favorite on DraftKings. Over under in this game is 45. I don't want anything to do with that. Day is wearing it on his body. His body language, when that call, and I thought it was a shit targeting call,
yes,
went against him last week. The dude reacted in a way you never see a coach react. You see them react strongly, but not to like that exact moment. Like that was unique, and somebody had to like pull him down. It's not a great look for our guy Ryan Day. I think that there's so much fucking pressure on this guy. I'm not going to say I feel bad for Ryan Day, but I kind of feel bad for Ryan Day. And if he loses this game, Ryan Day might be in a world of shit.
He is in a world of shit. If he loses this game, he's going to lose his job.
I love that take. I don't.
He is I genuinely believe he would lose his job. There's no way. The Ohio State fans and Ohio State are not going to tolerate that. They've given him enough chances. They're done.
Well, look, if he loses this game, they still they play Purdue, Northwestern, Indiana, but at home and versus Michigan. Michigan's terrible. They're going to beat Michigan. I think they'll beat Indiana at home too. So they'd have two losses. They'd be in the playoff. And then I think it becomes Will Ryan Day. I mean, I don't know if they'll beat Indiana actually at this point. I mean, they're kind of fucking around and playing with their food. So who knows? But there's so much pressure on this guy, and he's starting to crack. And but that being said, I think I'm going to pick Ohio State in this game. I don't feel very good about it, but I think I am going to pick Ohio State.
I am too, because I just feel like, you know what? No, I'll take Penn State. I'll take Penn State and say,
Ryan Day, good luck
coaching. No, he's not going to lose two games like that. No, they lost Oregon. I can't commit to it. If they hadn't lost that game, I would say sure.
Can I interest you in any Wisconsin Iowa takes? I don't have any.
No, I'm out of it. I mean, somebody in the under, but
it's going to be a really ugly game. Are you still doing that?
Yes.
Neighbor Jason asked me this weekend if you were still betting the under.
I am.
And I'm like, you know what? She hasn't brought it up, which I kind of appreciate.
Because I'm not rubbing it in. I don't want to. It's
well,
not
Iowa's
necessary.
Been scoring some points, though. Like, not like an aggressive amount of points, but they've scored
more than
points.
They normally do. This would have been the year that I would have chosen not to do this, but I'm choosing to do it anyway.
I like it. Just be stubborn until the core. Very good. Miami Duke. I'm not a huge fan.
I've got a lock on that.
Do you have any Florida Georgia locks? I don't. I almost did.
What's the spread?
16.5. I kind of wanted to take Florida.
I kind of want to take Florida. You know what? I will. Put it in locks. Florida plus 16.5.
Wow. Just like Tennessee. Off the assembly line.
Tennessee played them. Closing out that Tennessee's good. I'm just, yeah, we're going off the walls. I do have do we want to get into locks?
I've got one more game that I want to ask you about, and you may have it, which is Oregon, Michigan.
Yeah, I have a lock on that.
All right, then hold on.
It has nothing to do with the spread, though, so.
Then we could talk about it there. Yeah, there's some interesting games that I wish were more interesting. USC, Washington, Louisville, Clemson. But a lot of these games I've got locks on. All right, you want me to start or you want to start?
You can start.
Are we doing one at a time? One at a time is more fun. We can do one at a time. All right.
More fun.
South Carolina plus 2.5 versus Texas A&M. Sometimes the odds makers reach down like angels and they give you a gift. And they say, Adam, this is a gift from us. Texas A&M is going to be one of the most bet teams this week. Imagine them doing this in an angel voice. Not my McConaughey voice, but an angel voice. one of the most bet teams this week. And we're giving you this gift, this gift of South Carolina plus 2.5. And I say, oh my God, thank you so much. And I make money on it. This is the super duper lock of the week for me. This is the game.
I think you need to retire that so that you don't jinx that.
No.
Got a bad omen.
Producer Matt, big lock. Big.
Here we go again.
Big fucking lock. Big one. Even bigger. Super duper lock. I love this game. Don't let any of your friends tell you that Texas A&M is too easy because they're wrong.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Please don't fade me though immediately. It'll lose some.
I'm not fading you on this one. I'm staying away from that game. But I am going to take the over in Duke and Miami. The over is 54.5, and I think Miami can score that by themselves. So
I like it. I actually thought about that one. I have another disgusting game. And that is Auburn minus 6.5 versus Vanderbilt.
I'm going to fade you on that one.
Okay. I thought so. I couldn't. I think it'll get less aggressive after these. It's America's team versus the team that just can't stop losing. I don't think this is a gift from the gods, but I am really interested in this spread. And I think Auburn at home is still a problem. They're a really good defense. The spread is just, I am trusting Vegas on this one, and it sounds like you are not. And I respect that.
I am not. I'm going to go with Vandy. Give me Vandy.
I like it. I get why. I'm going to go Syracuse plus 4 versus Virginia Tech. Now, Syracuse was awful, awful, awful against Pitt.
Pitt, yeah.
But Kyle McCord threw 5 interceptions, and I work in the mindset that, like, okay, he could throw more interceptions, but that was a shit happen game. They're going to be at home. This line seems a little low to me. Go Orange. I don't think they're that bad. They played really bad. I don't think they're that bad.
Okay. They did play really bad. That was kind of embarrassing.
Thank you for confirming that.
So I took a Michigan over a couple weeks ago, probably 2 weeks ago. And that was a really bad decision. So I'm going to take the Michigan-Oregon under 45.5. I do think that Michigan still has a defense, but I think Oregon's still going to score a ton of points. I just hope it's not over 45.5.
It's not a safe bet.
I should have taken the over. You know me. I like overs better.
No, but you've been like, you zig, they zag. You keep us on our toes. That's good. Speaking of which, SMU minus 7.5 versus Pittsburgh. You notice the trend. This is like all contrarian lines all the
There's
time.
There's another trend.
This fucking SMU team. I don't normally yell at my TV. I was yelling at the Mustangs last Saturday night. 6 turnovers against Duke. And 2 of them were on like the 1-inch line. 6, and they still won. This team is good. And Vegas is saying they're good. Vegas, don't come on, man. Like 7.5. Undefeated team. Don't.
I hate to do this to you.
Don't. God damn it.
But I'm taking Pitt. How is it that we don't even look at these, but we still pick the same games? I'm taking Pitt.
I understand. My last one is probably my second favorite play of the week. And that is NC State minus 9.5 versus Stanford.
Okay.
NC State, saw Grayson McCall just retired, by the way. That made me sad.
Yes, me too.
I hope everything goes okay
smart,
with him.
But...
Smart. No, it is smart. But that's, unfortunately, when he played, we thought this team was going to be kind of an ACC dark horse. Like it did not go well. As it turns out, it didn't go well against some pretty decent teams. And they've put in a new quarterback, a true freshman, and they've played better. And I think Stanford is awful. So there you go. That would be my last one.
Yeah. So my last one was the one I chose on the fly, taking Florida to cover. So that's funny.
I like it. I also, in my secondary plays, UCF minus 6.5 versus Arizona. I'm not saying this to rub it in. I am actually curious on your take.
No offense taken. I also I need you to stop picking Arizona because you have.
I know.
And so I need you to not. So I'm glad that you're not.
They are kind of quietly. It's
crumbling. It's really
crumbling.
Bad.
It is. I know. It is.
It's really bad over there. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm very, very nervous about how this offseason plays out.
There are questions in this era of football. If you don't have your shit together, it's actually what I worried about from Michigan.
Well, if you don't have answers, that's the thing, is like Brett Brennan hasn't had any answers.
No answers.
So you gotta have some answers.
They got some soul searching to do.
Yeah.
It's also a shame to see the quarterback. I mean, there are really good players that are just not playing well or being put in a position to play well.
Exactly. I agree.
All right. So there are locks. Random shit. Oh, I have one random shit / football. I had a terrible beat. Well, it wasn't a terrible beat, but I'm curious what you would call this. So
I'm just laughing at you leaning out of like the screen. Like,
am I doing that? Well, my computer screen, my one fucking monitor. Hold on. My one monitor isn't working. I didn't even.
Anyway, yeah. You're bad.
No, you've thrown off.
Now
my
you're thrown
equilibrium.
Off. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's a single track mine here. Okay. So I bet Sam Houston minus 10.5 last night versus Louisiana. So this first half was dreadful. They were losing 3-2 at halftime. The second half, they score immediately. And there looks like they're going to score again. They fumble. This was a messy game. There is 50 seconds left. Louisiana has fourth down and something. Sam Houston forces a fumble. And the guy runs it in for the end zone. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I got one of these games. Like, bad beat, great beat. They review it. And they said the quarterback's hand was going forward. So this is an interesting one. So I'm going to lose this game. I've disengaged from this game because I'm watching it just like coasting into a loss.
Yeah.
I am brought to life in a moment of like, yes, yes, we did it. And then crushed in disappointment over a meaningless review. It hurt. That was a new one for me this year.
The review situation has gotten a little out of hand in college football. After the Texas thing, then having the Ohio State thing, and then having, again, fans throw stuff. Did you, in solidarity with that new statement that fans are making, did you throw stuff in front of your television as if throwing it on the field?
No, I just cursed.
Okay.
And then my wife looked at me like, Jesus. Like,
which, by the way, I was looking through our clips the other day, and I have this clip of you swearing on the podcast, but you look behind you to make sure none of your kids are around, and I need to post it this week. I promise you guys this weekend I will post. Actually, I might just post it tonight just for fun. Because it brings me so much joy.
I'm also getting nervous. So when we do our live shows on Sundays, which is soon to be Tuesday nights.
Yes.
Next Tuesday, less than a week, election night. Come for the comments. They're going to be delightful in there. But when I'm waiting, I have not had a kid or a cat interrupt me this year yet. And I thought I did last week on Sunday. I didn't. I thought somebody was coming down.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm due. Is it
sheer panic?
It is. I could feel it internally. And then...
Oh, it's like so stressful when you think something's going wrong. Or like, and this week's show, we had one of our graphics wasn't being pulled up as I was like queuing for it.
Yeah.
And I was just trying. I was hoping it was coming up. It was not, but I'm slacking them on the side and being like, that's not the one that we need. Can we circle back to that? Because it's really awkward. We just talked about it.
I could sense you're just... We know enough about each other's cues now. Yeah. So I knew you were killing... So I was saying God knows what about Heisman races or something. I mean...
Well, and also the show was like over. Like, we did this as like an extra. It was like an extra thing they wanted to add, and it was not... we were good on time and everything. We had hit our time, and it was kind of hilarious. But again, that's the nature of being live and just having to like improvise in the moment. And what's funny is it used to panic me so much more if something was going wrong. And now I'm like just so used to the live aspect of it that I'm like, if it does, it does. You know what I mean?
No, if shit hits the fan, I mean, we can adjust well. I am interested. Yeah, we're doing it on Tuesday night for the playoff. We'll find out more details. One of the one of the things I love, and I think we talked about last week, is just the live, raw nature of reacting to these rankings as they come out versus the eight people, which we kind of quickly regurgitate and then we go.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think this too is different because we're also not on like Twitter and stuff. Like we're not watching live Twitter. We're really just looking at the comments and seeing what they're saying. But I actually like it because we're making our own like assumptions and thoughts off of this as opposed to like being influenced by what people are like rage tweeting about these initial rankings. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. We do have one more AP poll show this Sunday. And then after that, we will be on Tuesdays going over the college football playoff, which I'm super excited about.
My other non-random shit. I wanted to make sure I wasn't. Is the last football game this week 7 p.m. Central Time?
Yes. Somebody slacked. One of the other writers slacked me.
What the fuck is that? Like, why?
Yeah. Nope. I mean, they want me to go to bed early. That's what they're saying.
No, I appreciate that. But it is a little odd, is it not? Like,
very weird.
What are we doing? No late games? None? That's a fucking travesty, honestly. Like, not having a 9 p.m. game? Like, what are we doing, schedule makers? Like,
yeah, San Diego State, Boise State.
But, like, what are we doing? There's not, like, World Series? But that's going to start at, truly, I was trying to understand why this would be the case. You have Nevada, Colorado State starting at 7.
Yeah, 5. My time.
Well, 7.
You don't know what it's like to start at 9 a.m., right?
That's part of that I love. It's part of it terrifying, too.
Yeah, at Penn State, Ohio State, it's 9 a.m., so I'll be up with some coffee just sitting, watching, taking it all in.
That should be a prime time game. What are we doing with that?
Like Big noon.
I get it. That's what we are doing. TV. Money is money. Yeah, exactly.
TV and money, which we're a part of, so we kind of have to let it be.
No, by the way, it's nice to have a game. It has been a minute since we had an 11er that was like the game. I feel like we started off the season with some.
An 11er. What a weird. Don't try to make your time zone the time zone, all right?
It kind of is, though. I feel like
kind
Central
of
term,
isn't. It's kind of like the forgotten one.
Oh, no. Yours is like we will accommodate some sporting events to make sure that like. But don't get me wrong. I love like when I'm in Vegas. It's unbelievable. You're like, oh, the late game is starting at 6 p.m.
What are we doing? I think if you live on the West Coast, your life revolves way more around sporting events because they're during inconvenient times. Like, at least on the East Coast, you're able to watch stuff late and, like, you don't have to be anywhere or you're home from somewhere.
Yes.
Like, ours is, like, our Monday Night Football starts at, like, 5:15. So, like, you get off work and, like, it's football time. Like, you don't get to, like, go run errands before that or whatever.
Sounds awful. You really
have to manage your life around. And again, like on Saturdays, I wake up and football's on.
I do like that.
It is pretty sick. I'm not going to lie. And then 10 a.m. on NFL Sundays, it's pretty great.
That part I like. That part's a win. Speaking of which, Stanford is playing at NC State at 11 noon local time, 11 a.m. my time. So Stanford's gets the old 9 a.m.er. Ask Rutgers how that went last week when they were playing at midnight, basically at USC. Not great.
Yeah. Exactly. Body clock time.
Any other random shit?
No, I think that's it for this week.
We managed to turn it into an hour because that is what we do.
Exactly.
All right. I've got to go get ready for Halloween. I hope whenever anyone is listening to this, happy Halloween, happy fall. Fall is here. Week 10 is here. Can't wait. We will talk to you guys next week.